Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Not brought to you by Expo. Episode 201, We React to News.
Hey, React Native Radio friends. Welcome back. I hope everyone had a good Memorial Day weekend. I know this is released like 2-3 weeks later, so it's probably a distant memory at this point, but you know, we're recording now, the week of Memorial Day weekend. Of course, and this is also just a US thing. Man, if I qualify this anymore, I'll have to redo this intro. John Major, what'd you do over the Memorial Day weekend?
Well, I worked on my yard, made some good progress there, and I attended CrossFit. Every Memorial Day, we do a workout called the Murph, and I did pretty good this year. Still really sore, though.
What was it called? The Murph?
Yep, Murph. Yep.
Like Murphy?
I did not know you did CrossFit.
I thought everyone that was against who did, the rules. Yeah. CrossFit. You have to talk about CrossFit. That's the first rule.
Oh, no.
I'm the opposite of Fight Club.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. What's up with that? The Murph. That's kind of an interesting name.
Yeah. So it's actually named after I believe he was a Navy SEAL. Let me actually just really quick check.
That makes sense. Navy SEALs are pretty badass.
They're pretty tough.
Michael Murphy. He is, I guess, was a Navy lieutenant. He was killed in action in Afghanistan on June 28th, 2005. So the workout is named after him.
I see.
It's a pretty intense workout. It's probably the toughest workout I've done at CrossFit. It's a 1 mile run to 100 pull-ups to 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and then back to a mile run, all wearing a weighted vest if you can.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
I put 10 pounds total in my weighted vest, as I'm sure other people put a lot more. But for pull-ups, I scaled down to doing ring rows. So just basically you lay down at like an angle,
yeah,
and you're just pulling yourself up with the rings.
Like an inverted row. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, I would need to scale down to doing zero of anything.
That's just called shutting it off.
And what was really terrible was the night before, I was like, you know what? I guess I will do the Murph. And I texted the CrossFit coach and I said, hey, can I join you? And he's like, yeah, come on down. But I was so heavy after eating so much pizza. And I woke up the next morning just feeling terrible. And I was waiting for myself to puke.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I wasn't that person.
So you did all of that after eating pizza. This
oh,
is,
my God.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I went on a 8.5 mile hike up in the mountains. So I felt pretty good That's about pretty myself good. Until John Major opened his mouth. my weighted vest is a natural built-in one that I have. I do have to haul myself up and down the mountains. Robin, how many hundreds of push-ups and sit-ups did you do?
You know, I don't even want to talk about my weekend now because I should have gone first.
You should have gone first. As you all probably know, if you've been listening to the show, that is the voice of John Major Condon, our new co-host here at React Native Radio. Appreciate you joining us, John Major. And Robin, of course, Robin Heinz, who has been on the show since we took it over in December. So very much appreciate having both of my exemplary co-hosts here today. Robin's located in Portland, Oregon. She's a senior software engineer at Infinite Red. And John Major lives in Janesville, Wisconsin, and is also a senior software engineer here at Infinite Red. This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remotely in the US and Canada. We have years of React Native experience since it was released, actually. We intend to keep riding this ship as long as it'll go. And we do all kinds of things. Of course, the podcast, the newsletter, the conference chain React. We do all kinds of stuff. Hit us up if you need help with your React Native app. Hello at infinite.red. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/React Native. We are hiring. Go to careers.infinite.red if you are a senior level React Native engineer located in the US and Canada. US or Canada. If you're in US and Canada, that's cool too, I guess. I don't know how that works.
What do you do? You've got 1 foot on either side of the border? How does that work?
1 foot on either side.
That could get really complicated diplomatically. Like,
what if your house was like in between and then they drew the border afterward? You know, so it like just went right through your house.
You need a passport to like go to the bathroom in a little bit. You have a border guard stationed in your living room.
Oh, man. That's too good.
Just ruining my pitch here.
Sorry.
Just go to careers.infinite.red and fill out the form. This episode, we are trying something new. We're kind of thinking maybe every 6 weeks we're going to do this. And the working title, at least for now, is We React to News. So what we do in these episodes every 6 weeks is we take some of the latest, biggest stories from the React Native community. You know, stuff comes out all the time. There's cool stuff that comes out all the time. It's hard to stay up on it. So we're going to do the work for you. We're going to go out there and find all these stories. The reality is we can do this now because we have John Major and he's the editor-in-chief of the React Native newsletter. So he's already on top of all this stuff.
It's really convenient.
And that's another place to go and find your news. So you don't have to go here. You don't have to wait 6 weeks. You can just go to the React Native newsletter, subscribe, and get your news every first and third Tuesday of the month.
First and third Tuesday. Perfect.
So if you don't read the newsletter, this will be your chance to hear about what's going on. And if you do, you'll get to hear us talk about it.
I recommend you do both, really. Like, you know, you're going to get the text version and then you're going to get our dulcet tones here on your radio.
Do eat.
So we've taken five of the biggest stories that have been out there. And generally it'll be kind of what's happened between the last episode and this one. But sometimes we might even go back into the archives and talk about something we never did talk about. So that'll be something we might bring up in the future as well. But we do have five topics. We actually have more than five. I don't think we're going to get to them all, but we're going to start with that. And we'll spend about 5 minutes on each one. All right. Are you two ready to get into this?
Let's do it.
As ready as I'll ever be.
Awesome.
Number one.
The first thing on my list is Expo's new CLI. So Evan Bacon, who works at Expo, he tweeted out, I guess it was it over the weekend? Something like that. He said, it's finally here. Build and run your Expo apps locally with the new Expo CLI run commands. He mentions beautiful logging, auto code signing, smarter warnings and errors, pre-building and config plugins. Then he links over to their blog post. We'll put all this stuff in the show notes, of course. He then goes on with his Twitter thread saying that the new warning should be familiar to Node.js developers. We extract the meaningful info from Xcode errors and warnings, pass that on to Babel's code formatter to keep things consistent across our React tooling. The example he shows is really cool. Like it shows a much more readable error. You know how errors in React Native are. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, there's also a beautiful GIF of the logs too, and how the structure is designed, showing that like the first thing in the, I guess, statement would be like the npm CocoaPods and then like the file it's found in. But yes, like it looks so much cleaner than before.
So one thing I really like about this is that it feels like Expo's been really listening to feedback because they're integrating more and more with, you know, like the native side of things. It's always been in the past, like Expo Go it's like the app that you install on your simulator. And then you just compile the JavaScript side of it and it hooks in and you kind of like run it on this pre-configured, pre-built binary that's on your simulator or your phone. But this is actually compiling it with Xcode, compiling it with Android Studio. So this is a lot closer to React Native Run iOS, React Native Run Android.
Is it actually a wrapper around React Native Run iOS?
That I don't know. I would assume that they use that under the hood. You know, actually, a couple of years ago, I did something like this with the Ignite CLI. I did a proof of concept where I wrapped the React Native CLI and I like prettified the errors. Anything that I recognized as being not really an error, I just sort of like ignored. And then later, like at the end, said there were 300 error or 300 warnings, but you probably don't need to worry about those. at the end of it. It was kind of cool, and a lot of people liked what I had done, but I never like pursued that all the way to the end.
And then Expo beat you to it.
Well, they put in the work is what they did.
So can you now run like native packages with Expo?
That's the other thing that they mentioned here is that you can also, so they have the EAS, the Expo Application
Services.
Yes. We talked to Brent Batney about that in a previous episode, and it's a very cool thing there. You should go check that out if you're interested in running custom native code on Expo. But I think that this is like, hey, you can do it on your local machine, which does sort of like bring up the question, like, well, what's the benefit of this now? You know, like Expo's big thing was you didn't have to build it on your local machine.
Well, it seems like this is sort of like one step towards full native support where you can, right, you can change and add your own native code and rebuild locally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they seem to have done a lot of work kind of wrapping everything and making it like more helpful, more kind of developer friendly. And I've said for a long time that, you know, Expo hopefully is like the future of React Native, you know, for us. Like I'd love to be where we're just building everything in Expo, mm-hmm, because like to me, it would smooth out our developer experience so much if we could do that. That's why we're supporting Expo in Ignite now. Like that was a big step forward because we wanted to support all the things that they're doing here. And it really does seem like they're also doing some things like they have build profiling. They have, which generates a Gradle report of how long everything took to build. I guess the big thing here is that they really understand how React Native developers, like the pain points that React Native developers have, and they're trying to like sand off those edges.
Definitely. Not only their pain points with React Native, but their pain points with Expo, and they're actively working to make Expo be what it needs to be for all React Native developers to be able to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah, when I came from React.js to React Native and not really knowing the difference between React Native and Expo, Expo can come across like the promised land and you get to it and then you realize that, oh, I need to eject or I need to just like completely switch over to React Native. But it seems like they are making progress to the point where you don't have to eject, mm-hmm, and that you can live in Expo. You can develop by installing native plugins and so forth, which is super exciting because that was pretty depressing having to face the realization I had to eject.
Right, exactly. And it looks like they're going to be doing some more things with third-party packages. They are planning to support a lot more things out of the box with Expo to pre-build those things in. This is a good step forward for Expo, and it definitely continues to make it better within the community. Is there any negative to this? I'm trying to think of something like, but I can't think of anything. This is just, for us, it's just one more option as a developer, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're only making positive strides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So that was our first bit of news, Expo's new CLI. It brings us to our number two. Coinbase is going all in on React Native. They released a blog post announcing Coinbase's successful transition to React Native. So this is sort of the anti-Airbnb.
I was going to say, this is like the opposite of the Airbnb blog post.
Right.
But they did consult Airbnb devs.
Interesting.
They did. Yes. They mentioned that, right, in their blog post?
Yeah.
Well, they being Harry Tormey. So Harry is a friend of Infinite Red's. He was a speaker at the first Chain React. I sat next to him at the speaker dinner, had a great time. We've stayed in touch ever since. I'm a big fan of Harry's, and we've really kind of hit it off. He's been working at Coinbase for quite a while now, specifically on the React Native transition, and he wrote this blog post about that transition. Well, one of the big things that they didn't just make this choice like offhand. They didn't just like say, oh, hey, you know what, let's stop making our Swift and I don't know if they use Java or Kotlin on the Android side, but let's stop doing the native code and let's switch over to React Native. Without they really did kind of put a lot of work into this. Mm-hmm. They have 56 million users, so you know this is non-trivial to make this change. And they really couldn't have, you know, regressions and whatnot. It was really important that they have a successful transition. They had over 200 screens with quite a bit of logic within them too. So that was a big thing. But I think the biggest factor here was the team. You know, like they have native engineers, they may have some web engineers, and they needed to switch this over. And he goes into all of that. He talks about how the original ones were actually written, I guess, in Objective-C and Java, the original mobile apps were. And I guess the big thing was that they started having a hard time, you know, scaling up their native development team. And that's something that I think we hear quite a bit at Infinite Red when we talk to people.
It's interesting that they're going all in on retraining too. Like they're taking their previous Java and or like Android and iOS engineers and retraining them, which seemed like it was a pain point for Airbnb, but their decision to go full greenfield instead of brownfield seems like something that they chose to do deliberately to mitigate a lot of that pain. You're basically having them become full React Native developers rather than keeping one foot in native and having to do a lot more extra work in order to maintain this brownfield React Native side.
And they did try to do brownfield. Didn't go so well. Trying to remember what they said in the post, but if I recall correctly, they had tried to do it. And the biggest problem that they ran into was native developers. So after you would take React Native and inject it into the native code base, the React.js developers would have to know somewhat of the native code to build it, to debug errors and so forth. And I believe it was like the same way around with like the native developers. They would also have to know React Native. So they would have to get up to speed with React Native and still manage the native side,
yeah,
which has caused a lot of headaches. But it seemed like, if I remember correctly, they just tried it out. It wasn't like they went and did this for an extended amount of time. They were very quick at, we're going to try out, I believe, two things. Mm-hmm. We're going to try out Greenfield, we're going to try out Brownfield, and then we're going to evaluate which one is better for us in the long run. And in the long run, I would also agree it makes sense to go the Greenfield route because, well, you're talking about the longevity of your business. Whereas the Brownfield project, it kind of seems like a quick fix. You know, you're just shoving like a square peg through a circle hole.
Yeah, I think that's such a cool way to approach this. They started with their pro product and they did that Greenfield, and then they like Brownfield in their main app, like new features and stuff. And then they took all of that and they kind of got together and said, hey, let's, you know, what did we learn? Mm-hmm. And then that led to a Greenfield rewrite. There's a lot more to this article that Harry wrote, so I encourage you to read it. And not only that, but they also dropped another article where they talked about, and they went a little more in depth a little bit later, and they talked about using the animated tab bar. So they talked about something very specific that time with the tab bar. And that's also worthwhile because they talk about the UX as well as they have actual code snippets and stuff. So we'll link to both of those, but definitely a very interesting use case for switching over to React Native and a successful one.
Cool. So it sounds like they're going to be not only switching to React Native, but a really active resource in the community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we need more of that for sure. All right.
Number three.
Number three.
Our next one is Stripe's React Native SDK. So Stripe, of course, being the payment processing system that a lot of people have used over the years. I've been using Stripe for a decade, it feels like, to do payment processing. And one of their big things has always been that their developer experience is so much better. I don't know, have either of you ever implemented something like payment processing?
Yes.
Non-Stripe?
Oh, not non-Stripe.
Yes, but not React Native. Braintree.
Oh, okay. So see, even some of the new ones are so much better. Like we did authorize.net back in the day, and some of the graybeards in the audience are going to be like nodding their head a little bit. Authorize.net. This was a disaster. It was so difficult to work with. They had horrible documentation. It was even hard to get documentation from them. And you'd usually get like a PDF that was like 45 pages and described a lot of stuff you didn't care about and didn't talk about the stuff you did care about. And it was, they didn't have SDKs. You had to like build it all from scratch. It was just horrid. Stripe came along So much better. Awesome. Well, now they are supporting React Native officially. So there were some React Native SDKs out there, and you could certainly use the React Native like JavaScript SDK to some degree, but it wasn't like a made for React Native experience. But they announced earlier this last month, about a month ago, that they now have an official Stripe client that is in public beta and that has Apple Pay, Google Pay, card input, local payment methods, pre-built native payments UI for Android and iOS, and it supports Stripe Connect, which if we had had that a year ago, and if it had worked with Expo, we could have used that because we built an app that had Stripe Connect. Stripe Connect mean like a two-sided marketplace type of payment system. So very exciting news. And one thing I really think that's cool about it is that having companies step in and say, we're going to support React Native as a first-class citizen is a great thing for the community.
Definitely. It just feels like every day React Native is becoming more official. It's no longer this sort of beta platform that's in its infancy and isn't very reliable. It's like, it's up there. I mean, it's as important as Android and iOS.
Yeah, it's also proving people wrong in the community, because I see often on Twitter where people don't really like React Native, where they rather do Flutter or native development. And React Native, there was an app, two apps actually, on the App Store that were trending number one for a while, Coinbase being one of them, and GasBuddy. And so those both are React Native. So it seems like React Native is constantly proving itself worthy.
And one of those is our client. We won't say which. strategic placement of that one, John Major. I like it. No, I 100% agree. It really does seem to be a default like third-party platform. So if you scan through the README, you see that they make it easier to be PCI compliant and obviously integrate with Apple Pay and stuff. They bring in the native UI, so it's easier to just drop it in and have a UI already built. And, you know, the API looks pretty cool. They're using JSX. They have like card fields and you can style them like any other React Native component. And then they give you like an on card change, on focus, you know, different events that you can hook back to and do what you need to do from your app's perspective.
Does it support Stripe Connect?
It does. Yeah, I looked into that and they do have Stripe Connect full, as far as I can tell, full access to it, which is a big deal if you're building a two-sided marketplace. Mm-hmm. So I like the direction they're going. Now, one thing, like I mentioned before, it's great that companies are supporting as a first-class citizen. And we're actually doing that with a big company right now. We're building an SDK for React Native. They already have an iOS and Android version of their SDK, and we're building like a full React Native wrapper around that kind of makes it more React Native focused and works very well on React Native. We'll be probably, since it'll be an open source SDK once it's done, we will probably be having the project team from Infinite Red on here and talking more about that. And we can't say the name of the client yet until we launch it. But for now, it's definitely something that we're excited about. We're doing a bunch of work with that internally. I don't know. I love building stuff for other developers. I love developer experience work, and like building SDKs is kind of part of that.
It's different than like our normal mode of building apps for users that we will probably never know. Versus getting to build something for maybe people that we do know will get to use it. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Number four.
Codecademy just announced that they have a new React Native course, which is named appropriately Learn React Native.
Learn React Native.
pretty straightforward value proposition there.
It's very clear.
If you don't know what Codecademy is, it's a free way, like they have a free tier, but it's a learning website, a little bit like Treehouse. You could almost call it an online boot camp, but it's got courses for pretty much every technology you could think of, interactive exercises, lessons. It's really, really popular among people first learning to code, I used it when I was first learning to code before, like when I was kind of dabbling and thinking, maybe this code thing is for me. It actually played a really critical role in like getting me bitten by the coding bug. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see React Native represented in a sort of beginner oriented platform like this. Like we've been saying for a lot of these news stories, actually, it's just one more piece of evidence that React Native is mainstream. It's official. It's no longer just a baby platform that really experienced developers know about because they're in the weeds every day. Yeah, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I used Codecademy as well. I used it, it'd be 2013 when I started learning how to code.
So it's about when I was using it too.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it was actually kind of funny. I had like a couple programming classes and I got hired on as a student developer.
I feel old now.
And I was, you know, given Codecademy assignments, and which is funny because I'm looking at it today. I haven't been to this site in a long, long, long time. And there's so many more resources here because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure back then there was only web. So like your HTML, mm-hmm. CSS, yeah. and JavaScript. But now
the first HTML I ever wrote was in a Codecademy window.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Good memories. Mm-hmm.
They really are. So I noticed that the code heavily takes advantage of Expo. You know, I really believe that Expo is kind of the future of React Native, and it's kind of it's filling in a missing piece that I think React Native never had, which is like a really official way of doing things that everybody does it that way, which is something that like Rails always had. There was always mm-hmm. just like the way that you did things in Rails, and it was really easy to look up things and get support because everybody kind of did things the same way. And I really see Expo as being that piece of React Native. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so beginner friendly because there is a certain amount of magic, which like you could say is good or bad, but it makes it really accessible for new developers.
Yeah. And you learn in this course, you get an intro to React Native and Expo. You get to learn about core components, basic building blocks, how you build components. You learn to style those components, and then you learn about navigation. So that's a pretty good intro. Now, there's a lot more to building React Native apps, as we all know, but all of that can be learned using Expo, so there's no problem. I think it's great that Expo helped them build this and that they're kind of branded there. You know, we pitch Expo a lot on this. They're not a sponsor of ours. They're just friends of Infinite Red. They're friends of ours, and we like their product.
Never sponsored, it's completely genuine. They're doing really great things in the community. So
yeah, totally. We like their product, and they give away so much stuff for free too, that, you know, it's a lot like Infinite Red, where we give away a lot of our knowledge for free, because we know it comes back around. But yeah, this is one of those things that's sort of like, well, we interviewed in a recent episode, Devin Abbott from React Native Express, which is a really great website for learning to code React Native. And we recently brought on a junior developer, Kate, who is learning React Native now. And I was able to give her, of course, React Native Express, but also now this course. And she could go through it and learn quite a bit by going through these two ways. It's good to have more options. I would have loved to have Infinite Red Academy, like a, you know, React Native for beginners type of course. It never quite came together for us. And because of that, it's nice to have these other resources to point people to.
But it doesn't mean we won't ever do that.
I love it. Teasing it. No current plans, but, you know, stay tuned. And that brings us to our last news item where we will react. By the way, we didn't even like point out the whole pun thing. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't worth it.
It's not as funny if you can't point. You have to let it.
You can't point it out.
You can't point it out. Yeah,
sorry. Number five. So this is something that I've been working on with one of our developers, Mark. Mark's been doing the bulk of the work, and I've just been kind of testing and helping him with it. But we recently released Ignite 7, and It's part of our effort to make Ignite more of a multi-platform React Native boilerplate, and actually part of a broader initiative to just be more multi-platform as a company. We've done desktop apps, we've done TV apps, we've done a lot of different platforms, but we really want to make it a primary focus of Infinite Red to be really, really good at React Native no matter where you're deploying it. Ignite 7 releases with web support, which is powered by Expo. Man, Expo seems to be in everything here. But Expo has web support, so we were able to provide web support, React Native web, through Expo. So if you start with an Expo-powered Ignite app, you will get web for free. And that's a pretty cool feature that Mark released recently. We do have a blog post about it. And this could be very interesting if someone's doing a startup and they want web, iOS, and Android. That would be an option to use Ignite for that. Just to, some people may not be aware of what Ignite is, so I guess I should say what that is. It is a React Native boilerplate. It's the most popular one on GitHub. There's over 12,000, maybe 13,000 stars now at this point. And you can run Ignite, npx ignite-cli new my app, and it will spin it up. If you do --expo, it'll use Expo, and it'll spin it up with all of Infinite Red's opinions baked into the boilerplate, including MobX state tree for state management, React navigation for navigation, TypeScript, etc.
So if you don't like Infinite Red's chosen stack, it might not be the boilerplate for you.
But you should like our stack.
In addition to like giving you sort of a great jumping off point with a lot of things already created for you, I think a lot of people sort of trust our opinions on stack and how to do things. So that's one of the key features of Ignite.
And you could have done this yourself, but as Mark notes in the blog post, I'm happy to report that I did all the Googling, Stack Overflowing, and GitHub issue searching, so you don't have to.
Such a nice guy.
Mark is amazing when he gets going. I've worked with him for, I don't know, 7-8 years now. And when he gets moving on something, he's got like a goal in sight. He is incredibly fast. In fact, Robin, you worked with him in your last project.
Yeah, I've been on a project with Mark for the last year, and he leaves us all in the dust every day.
He's incredible. He's so fast. You just have to clean up a little bit of the mess behind him, right, Robin?
It's really not too bad. He is known as the get things done guy, even if it's a little bit hacky. He's not afraid of a good hack.
He's not afraid of a good hack. That is for sure. I made sure on the Ignite changes that he did a good job. And actually, I didn't have to do much. He's honestly a great programmer, and he did a fantastic job. And he got it to work, which is amazing.
So, Mark, I know you're listening. Jamin thinks you're a good programmer.
I absolutely think that Mark is a good programmer.
I think he's a better programmer
than Jamin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Throw down.
Throwing some shade. Yeah. <I'm joking. laughs> No, it's really interesting because Mark and I have been coding for about the same amount of time. We're both 1981 babies. We both are both learned when we were very young. So there are a lot of parallels there. And it is interesting to kind of see our coding styles. What's cool, though, is like, we ask each other for help all the time. Like, he'll be like, Jamin, I need some help with this thing. And there's certain aspects that, like, he appreciates my input on, like architecture and things like that. And then, like, there are situations where I'm just beating my head against the wall and I can ask Mark and he's just going to get it fixed. Like, he's going to figure it out. And I love that. I love that symbiotic relationship. I'm still better, but, you know. Mark's probably better. He's been coding nonstop and I've been, you know, doing podcasts and stuff.
One thing we know Jamin is better at is riding tractors.
I am better at, I think so.
You're the best.
I don't think he has a tractor. So
no, he has a van, but not a tractor.
So Ignite 7.0 is out. Definitely check out the release notes and the blog post. That kind of concludes. We have a few more things on the list, but I think we're out of time. I really wish we could get to it, but you're going to have to wait for the newsletter, I guess. Go sign up for the newsletter, reactnativenewsletter.com.
Go sign up.
Cool. Where can people find you? John Major, where do people find you online?
At John Major C everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, you name it.
Awesome. And Robin?
I'm at Robin_Hines on Twitter with an E at the end.
Twittery. She means at the end of her handle. And I'm Jamin Holmgren, at Jamin Holmgren. You can also find the React Native Radio Twitter at React Native RDIO. We tweet out new episodes there, as well as retweet people saying nice things about us and we ignore people saying mean things about us. That's not true. We actually read
them. We really take it to heart when you say mean things about us. Well, try to be nice.
It's true. Like, yeah, be nice, but we read it. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our transcript and release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, and our social media coordinator, Missy Warren. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out, infinite.red/react-native. Thank you to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe on all the major podcasting platforms. Reminder, we're hiring US and Canada senior level React Native engineers. Careers.infinite.red. We'll see y'all next time.
See ya.
Bye.